The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good evening, Nerd Clan. This is the third time for me trying to record this as my children have yet to sleep or fall asleep, and they've interrupted me two times so far. So please, please, please get ready for a third. And more than likely, I'll have to restart this and do it a fourth time. Anyway, good evening. Welcome to Blake's Book Club. Today we're talking Midnight Sun, Chapter 19, Home. A good chapter, a nice little chapter, a natural follow-up to what occurred in the previous chapters. It's the next evolution, the next step in Bella and Edward's relationship. One that gives us a good sense of community and warmth and love, caring and concern, especially from Esme and Carlisle. One of compassion. And there are a couple of things here that happen in this chapter that I don't think are coincidence. First, that being Carlisle mentioning to Edward that there are visitors coming to their area, visitors that who are naturally vampires, who are different than the Cullens in their hunting habits. So I find this interesting because this is the first moment that we have a sense of comfort and a sense of belonging for Bella. This entire time she has been in Forks, she has felt relatively alone, an outsider, even with her dad. Even as she looks at her surroundings, she feels like an outsider. But when she comes here, there's a sense of belonging. It feels right for Bella. Now, that may be enhanced by Jasper, but still, there's a sense of reality for Bella that I don't think that she's experienced yet. And you could argue that she's experienced it with Edward, though that's slightly different because her relationship with Edward is a relative secret. It is relatively new. It is something that over the past couple of chapters has finally calcified. She's still uneasy and a little awkward, and there are moments of that in this chapter here too. But I guess what I'm getting at is she finally feels home. She finally feels some sort of belonging, and it's not a coincidence that once that belonging is established, for all the characters that are involved, that there are these visitors who are here to upset that belonging. It to me is writing 101. It's an effective tactic that takes what is essentially a wholehearted, clean scene, something that is meant to be warm-hearted and wholehearted. And it adds a little bit of tension. Not a ton, not where you're like, what's going to happen? But there's just a small sense of, yes, something is coming. And we've already had these interactions, two interactions with other vampires. This is the third interaction with a vampire that is coming to visit. Or one that has interacted with Edward. And in this three beat, we know what's coming. We know that our luck is about to run out. It's not necessarily because of Twilight, though that does help. It is because that is just writing. That is something that comes as a natural progression for writing styles. You have a three beat of expectations. So normally, a famous example of this is Game of Thrones. where if you guys are Game of Thrones fans, Rickon is being chased by Ramsay Bolton, and well, not chased, but he is being hunted down by Ramsay Bolton. And Ramsay says, "Okay, go run to your brother. Go run to Jon Snow." And Rickon starts running. The problem is Ramsay has a bow and arrow. And he says, "Okay, if you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't." Rickon starts running. Ramsay shoots a bow and shoots his bow. The first one misses. And then he takes his time, reassesses, shoots a second, and overshoots a little bit, missing yet again. The third one we expect to come, and normally the third one in the three beat actually fulfills his purpose and kills Rickon. But in this particular case, in Game of Thrones, it doesn't. It misses again, and you think, wow, Rickon is going to be safe, because you know, even your subconscious brain knows the formula of a three beat. Of course, for Game of Thrones, they like to upend those normal tropes. They like to play with you. So as soon, right before Jon Snow goes to pick up Rickon, the three beat has been completed. But right before he goes to pick Rickon up, a fourth arrow comes and plunges into Rickon's into his back, through his chest, and thus killing Rickon. So what I'm getting at here is this. Stephanie Meyer uses this three beat to accentuate the fact that your subconscious brain, your reader brain, or your television brain, or your movie brain knows the structure of a three beat. And it's a widely used structure. Even sentences, how they're written sometimes when you're using descriptors, are done in threes. So it is not a coincidence that Stephanie Meyer uses this introduction as a way to enhance the comfort and warmth and love, a sense of trust in this family. Carlisle is immediately telling Edward. Edward immediately tells Bella. And there we have our trust that is set up between this family, but it still happens to be in a sense that there's danger coming.